come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Here we go at it again, coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada, as we get ready for UFC 245 stacked card, stacked show. Matt's running around somewhere in Denver skiing with the family, having a good time. So I upgraded, and I upgraded a great deal. Let's welcome back to the show, co-hosting today, Jimmy Denning from Tenors of Rock and Sin Sluggers.
Yeah.
And what's new? What's going on? First and foremost, thanks for doing this today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is nice. We're not slumming it today. We're up in the nice boardrooms. This is wonderful. Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. This is nothing quite like a UFC weekend in Vegas.
So. What is it like for a resident, you know, to have, you know, you guys have so many events out here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a massive event. But as a resident, how big is this, or does it not even matter?
I don't know. The UFC has a certain allure, I think, to this town, much the way that the big fights of the 80s in boxing used to have. I think the UFC has kind of taken that mantle on and done a phenomenal job kind of running with it, because, you know, everything around the city is now geared towards the big UFC events and all of the fighters and all the celebrities and whatnot that come in. And I think they're trying their best to get boxing back to that kind of level. But like I said, everyone looks forward to the five or maybe six, I think, UFC events that you have in the city. And they do it so well. They really do it so well.
It was crazy when I drove out yesterday to make sure the boardroom and the system and everything was set. And, you know, I remember the UFC office on Sahara.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't even know it was there behind the in and out, all that stuff. You drive whatever interstate I drove, and it's not one massive building, but it's two or three.
Yeah.
So it is like they're taking over.
They've thrown it up. I live not far from the 215 is the highway you're talking about. And they have the Performance Institute there, and then they have the second office building and the other Performance Institute, I think, next to it. Yeah. And everything in this town is, you've never seen so many jiu-jitsu dojos and wrestling teams and you know, all this kind of stuff. But it's it really has taken over this city. And I think if you say Las Vegas, one of the first three things that people will say is not Elvis anymore. I think they would say the UFC.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Wow.
I'd say so.
So I have a tendency. I have 173,000 unread emails. All right, and I'm so far behind. I don't even try to catch up. So I don't read them.
Right.
The day before yesterday, I think it was, I read a press release about this grappling tournament tomorrow.
Sure.
And I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but I'm almost looking forward to this more than I am the fight on Saturday.
And especially with some of the names that are appearing.
It's
like, it really is a who's who of this sport, or especially of wrestling. I think you said the Glover Teixeira, Chad Mendes, you know, this is going to be awesome.
Jake Shields, Gilbert Melendez, our first guest, who's probably lost walking through the casino.
Trying to find the Willow Ball.
Yeah, it was difficult. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's a little thing. King Mo expected to be here shortly. Babalu, and I have some off-the-record stories or off-the-air stories we could talk about.
Great.
Had some situations back in Tampa. My brother Eve Edwards is here, Hector Lombard. Getting ready for his first bare knuckle boxing event that's coming up. Clay Guida, I'm president of his unofficial fan. I once got yelled at by a former UFC representative because Clay would always say that I'm the president of his fan club. It's a made up thing. It's not real.
Yeah.
And so we're walking down the street and this one person's like, "What do you mean you're the president of his fan club?" You know, because UFC is,
of course,
controls everything.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's a joke. It's the unofficial. It's nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so Clay's involved. Sean O'Malley, Anthony Johnson.
Oh, Sean O'Malley's there.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Anthony Smith. Then Gordon Ryan is here, as well as Craig Jones. If you know anything about grappling, these two guys are unconscious. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that with Muhammad Lawal when he gets here.
Fabulous.
Scheduled to be on the program today, Kai Kara France. The crazy one himself, yep. The platinum one, Mike Perry, will be here.
Yep.
That's why I have to always hang up FCC signs, you know, for Mike. And then Chase Hopper, this kid's 20 years old. Mm-hmm. I've covered the UFC longer than the kid's been alive.
I know. It's I tell you what's incredible about the birth of mixed martial arts and coming from, you know, the old days of the barbaric sport to where it is now and so so well marketed and put together is the fact that when I was growing up in the UK, you know, if you wanted to, you literally went to judo or you went to the boxing club. That was kind of what you did. If you wanted to be in any form of combat sport, that's what you did. And it is, as I was saying before about Las Vegas, you're in this city now that is surrounded by these gyms that are teaching jiu-jitsu. Now, jiu-jitsu, no one would have, outside of combat sport and the combat sport industry, no one would have ever known that this even existed. And of course, it's gone from jiu-jitsu to Brazilian jiu-jitsu to all different kinds of manifestations. And it's crazy how these kids that are probably, you know, from 20 years old, he's probably been doing jiu-jitsu since he was 8 years old.
Yep.
And it's become through, you know, I was kicking a football and punching a bag. And he's, you know, it's that the evolution of combat sport is quite a unique thing, I think.
There was an 8 or 9 year old young man from Newport Richey up by Dunedin, not far from that area, who I guess was like the number one whatever in the world and the MMA big shot looking at him. So it is crazy, but I kind of got ahead of myself and I apologize because I want to know, do I now call you the LeVon Bell, you know, of MMA?
Is that,
are we going to get in trouble, you know, because, you know, Bell, I don't know if you know the story.
Is he an American football player?
He is the New York Jet running back that was told don't come in on Sunday because he had the flu. And the Jets didn't want him to get everyone sick. So instead, he went bowling until 2 in the morning. And then, you know, got hit. Everybody was all pissed off because, you know, he was too sick to play football.
Sure.
I went to go see Tenors of Rock last night.
Yeah.
And no little Jimmy.
No little Jimmy. No, I've been medically signed off for 2 weeks. Probably due to my early fighting career of having my nose broken 50 million times, and I have a big sinus problem, so I'm having a very expensive procedure done in a couple of weeks.
I heard about that last time.
I imagine most of the gentlemen that are walking around, including our next guest, has probably had done the little balloon up the nose, and they pop it, and they do this, and then hopefully it goes well. So I'm allowed to speak, I'm just not allowed to sing.
Right, so we won't ask you to sing.
Which is probably not a bad thing.
No, we wish you could sing, but Muhammad Lawal is here. King Mo, what's up?
Hear ye, hear ye.
I'm so excited about this thing tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I want to have fun, go out there, compete, see what I can submit. Hopefully, I get a chance to wrestle like grappling small guys and just put them in a double cross face chicken wing. Bob Backlund.
Let me give you the bad news now. You will not be competing against me tomorrow.
Okay, well. There goes my Scorpion Deathlock in figure four.
Exactly. How excited are you about the news for the WWE Hall of Fame? NWO going in, Scott Hall, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, man. NWO. They changed wrestling. The moment Hulk Hogan turned heel, the game changed. Growing up, we had the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Great faction. The Varsity Club with Kevin Sullivan, great faction.
And his Tarantula.
Yeah, the Dungeon of Doom.
Right. Are you a wrestling guy at all?
Do you know what? I was
from Scotland.
I was a wrestling guy. Mick McManus was like a big star. Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. They were the kind of – my uncle was actually a wrestler. And so he kind of got me – we used to watch wrestling on a Saturday afternoon. And that's how you got into what was then the WWF. And so I'm the Jake the Snake Roberts and you know, Hulk Hogan. I remember all of that.
I remember the NWO day. I remember when he peeled the yellow off. And as a matter of fact, I think you've met – have you met my co-host, Matt? I'm not sure if we've cried. You've been on the air with us. So Matt McClellan's mentor is Terry Bollea,
which
is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And so there's a bunch of videos of Terry eating his pizza. And the ironic thing, we were talking about how small the world is.
Yeah.
Randy Savage was one of my close friends. Now, you know, most people don't know the relationship of Terry and Randy.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it was all peaches and roses, but it really wasn't. But, so they announced and Batista going into the Hall of Fame.
Sure wasn't. I remember Macho Man Randy Savage started rapping and dropped the disc.
I have
this track.
I still have the disc.
Be a man, Hogan.
be a man. Oh, I remember that. He's on the front cover with the big chains and stuff. Obviously, if you can't tell, Jimmy, yeah. Big WWE, WCW.
I never would have said. But the thing is, the funny thing is about wrestling is that wrestling isn't a big thing in the UK. Hence why it doesn't matter how good you are at jiu-jitsu judo, boxing, stand-up, anything like that from a British MMA point of view, they tend to always fall down on the wrestling side of their game. And it's because we don't do it in schools. We don't do it in colleges like you guys do here. So a lot of you guys come out of colleges and universities, you know, as experts in this field. And arguably probably the most important field in MMA is that if you can do that to a high standard, then I think you'll probably always do okay. But you never really associate, you know, fighting for real and fighting that is false and creative.
Scripted.
But you look at someone, listen, when I was a kid and you're seeing guys jumping off 24 feet cages and going for 20 minutes and like being so slick and what I loved about the WWE, F, WCW, all that kind of stuff was the pace and the performance, the standard of I'm going to throw you, you're going to throw me. I'm going to fall like this, you're going to turn me. I used to think that was incredible. And nowadays you think, oh, of course. Of course Ken Shamrock moves from one to another, then back to another. Of course all these people, you know, you're inspired by certain. Brock Lesnar, for instance, a perfect example, you know.
And I used to be dead against Brock, you know, when he came over to MMA, and I'm like, disrespectful to our sport, your sport, you know. I mean, great wrestler. And then what he did in MMA, I mean, legitimized everything about wrestling to me.
Here's the thing, I'm about to cut you off, but here's the thing, right? People forget, in Japan, they're pro wrestling and fighting at the same time.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Another thing is people forget is without pro wrestling, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Without pro wrestling, you don't have MMA. There is no MMA. Because the personalities, the walking to the cage, all that stuff, walking to the ring, all that stuff came from pro wrestling. Playing your music when you're walking to the ring came from pro wrestling. All the announcing in this room, in this corner, weighing so-and-so, in this corner, you know, like all that, the bell ringing, all that came from pro wrestling.
Which do you like better? You know, obviously you've done both, and I know you're getting back into the wrestling world. You know, when I first started covering MMA and UFC 11 with Mark Coleman, there wasn't a lot of the shenanigan stuff. I mean, it was as real as it gets.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Colby Covington, the main event, you know, has gone a little WWE-ish. As a guy that really doesn't and hasn't talked and played that type of game in the MMA world other than the Crown. Come on, that was supposed to be a little funny. You know, which do you like better?
I think it really depends on where you're at. Because you have to learn when to hit the switch. Like, for instance, when I'm wrestling, I'm like, I can't punch you. Because think about this, right? If me and you're wrestling and we're telling a story, you're in the audience, and you're like, Mo's a real fighter, you're a pro wrestler.
How come Jimmy couldn't be the one in the audience and I'm the one? Well, all right, I see where you are. It's okay. It's all right.
I prefer that.
And so think about this, right? So me and you're wrestling, lock up.
Yeah.
You get me mad. If I clench my fist and throw one punch, the match should be over.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So as a wrestler, I know I'm a legit fighter. If I throw a punch, it should be over. So I have to hit a switch, be like, you know what? I tell a story.
Sure.
I have to tell a story. I have to entertain. It has to make sense for the crowd to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take it home and I get the pin or he gets the pin.
Yeah.
In MMA, there's no story.
Right.
Like, you know, you want to be entertaining, but at the same time, you just want to get the win.
Sure.
The most important thing is winning. Now, it's gotten to the point where, in the UFC, it's the most important thing is how you look. I feel like in MMA, like other MMA organizations like Bellator, KSW, Rizin, PFL, the main thing is get the W. Get the win. That's the most important thing because, hey, I could be 100-0 and I'm 100-0.
Yeah.
I could be 1-13 and guess what? I've lost 13 times.
Yeah.
Who do you want to watch fight?
Yeah.
So, like, really, like, the things you have to, like, in the UFC, it's a little more dangerous because you have to find a way to entertain while winning. And that's dangerous.
That's the key.
Yeah, that's the
key. And that's the whole thing. And I'm sure you've seen, you know, the picture that's on my, of all the people that I've met, the picture on there is the whole Ric Flair premise. You know, you have, like, Colby needs to keep winning so people will continue to hate him. And people will continue to pay money in hopes that he loses.
I tell you what's incredible. When we first moved to Vegas, I was a big wrestling fan, and because I have a show here in Vegas, Mo, and you, as a fan, as someone that used to box big boxing fan, big MMA fan, big wrestling fan. You have a show in Vegas. You have your one probably opportunity in life to invite all the cool people that you've ever wanted to meet to your show, because you've got a show in Vegas. You know, please come to my show. And then you can meet all your heroes. And fortunately, that's kind of happened. And came across Jake the Snake Roberts. And we spoke, actually, because I saw his documentary.
What was the name of the snake?
Damien.
Damien. Yeah, Damien. Did he bring Damien with him?
But when he came across, I thought he lives in Vegas. He is. I saw the documentary about him being dry and all that kind of stuff. And we spoke to his management, and it became a bit of a thing because I really wanted him to come because I didn't actually realize how much of an influence he was as me as an entertainer. How someone like that became so important to you, because they weren't full of muscles. They were full of exactly what you're saying. They had a brain. They knew how to play a crowd, but they also knew exactly what they were doing inside the ring. They were respected by their peers. And, you know, it's all very well someone being 500 pounds and looking fun and, you know, being scared of that as a child. But when you get older, you think the Jake the Snakes, the Randy Savages, the guys that weren't necessarily like completely,
Paige.
You know, they just knew how to play the entertainment side of it, but also know how to play the actual sport.
Who were some of your favorite wrestlers? I want to say growing up, but you're still so much younger than me. You know, guys that, and again, and I say this all the time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite days of my X amount of years on planet Earth was with you, WrestleMania, the day before, when you get to go meet and greet and, you know, the autograph thing with all of the older legends.
Yeah.
You know, not that the today's
young guys.
Yeah. I can't even think of any of the guys.
You know, Akeem, the Dream.
The African Dream, yeah. Yeah.
We saw Barry Windham.
Barry, we saw everybody. Gilbert.
Yeah.
You know.
So who were some of the ones that you liked, you know? And I know it's a long list, but.
It's a long list. Mainly, I was a NWA guy.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Of course, you know, Tully Blanchard, Magnum T.A., Arn Anderson, the Brainbusters, Ric Flair. A big Steiner Brothers fan, Masahiro Chono, Great Muda, Sting, the Powers of Pain. I could keep on going if you want me to. Legion of Doom, Demolition. Pretty much every major wrestler you could think of in the
Freebirds.
Yeah, the Freebirds. Yeah. Hey, Midnight Express.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, shout out to Midnight Express. Cause that's when I do my indie scene.
Yeah.
My wrestling on the indie scene, I come out to their music.
Right.
You know, because, okay. I love Jim Cornette. He's the man. You know what I'm saying? Even though people don't like him, I still love him because he's like a historian.
But you want people to not like you.
Oh, well, but right now I'm a face.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying Cornette. You know, the whole object was, you know.
Well, the thing is, okay, here's the thing, right? Okay.
Don't you want to be a heel, though? Wouldn't that be fun?
It's fun, but either way, like, think about this. In pro wrestling, getting cheered for is fun, and getting booed is fun.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but the thing about Jim Cornette is, I don't want to talk about the business too much, but sometimes when you're hated, you want to be hated by the fans.
Right.
But you want to be hated by the people in the business.
Right.
And it's the point where he's so, like, you know, what he says is so so old school. He's stuck in the 80s style that they're making progress. They're like, he's more of a conservative style of wrestling. Like, he likes the old 80s. Maybe early 90s and down. Yeah. Everything else, he's like, not good. Not good. And people are getting mad about that because wrestling is progressing now.
Of course.
Especially, you've seen a lot of great wrestlers in the UK. It's a guy named Marty Scurll.
Right.
Who has the Villain Club from Ring of Honor. He's going to sign with AEW. That's one of my favorites right now, you know, from the UK. You know, and shout out to Josh Taylor and Regis Prograis.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great fight.
You know, nobody knows wrestling more than Mo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Muhammad. See, it's only King Mo when it's fine. Did you say the R word again?
Retired?
Yeah.
I'm retired. You know what? Love fighting, but my chin can't take anymore. I'm dealing with some health issues as far as hyperthyroid. What's up, coach? Hyperthyroidism.
Yeah.
So my metabolism is extra fast, so I can't keep my weight on. My chin is gone because I've been fighting bigger guys and sparring bigger guys. So you know what? I'm going to leave that to guys that can still fight.
I'm
a coach. I'm a watch. And then I'm just going to do my pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's King Mo now gone? Because you told me King Mo was your fight persona.
Well, now it's my wrestling.
All right, so we are keeping it. Okay.
Yeah, King Mo, yeah. But then when I turn bad, I might change the King Muhammad to something else, like something really evil, you know.
But tell us a little bit about the wrestling. You know, what's going on, where you've wrestled, how big this organization can become.
Well, Major League Wrestling, it just started. As a matter of fact, I met the owner 2 years ago after WrestleMania. we're at Wrestle Circus, and it was like the matches after WrestleMania started like 2 o'clock.
That's the two a.m. one.
Yeah, and I was there, and he was like, his name's MSL. He's like, hey Mo, I'm gonna start a league called MLW. I'd love to get you involved when you're done fighting. And I was like, all right, you know, we talked years ago. Then when I said I'm retiring, he hit me like, hey Mo, you still want to wrestle? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, it's me from MLW. You know, whoop de woo, we're gonna make things happen. MLW has had MJF. He's with AEW. Matt Riddle started with MLW. They do a thing called Wale Mania. Well, Wale will come out and he'll do announcing for the matches. But it's picking up. It's been out. They've been around for like 2.5 years now. It's picking up. But hopefully, with me and Tom Lawler and Davey Boy Smith and Jacob Fatu and Selena De La Renta and everybody else and Loki, we can make it bigger. And you know, keep on doing things. You know what I'm saying? Like right now, we're doing things, but I want to make it bigger. I want us to be one of the premier wrestling organizations. We do things a little different though. Like with me and the other shooters, they call us shooters because we shoot takedowns. They want us to actually have more of a shoot style of wrestling, kind of like Pancrase. So I'm all about that because like it's still fighting. We're using fighting techniques. Mm-hmm. Open palm striking because if I punch you,
you're gonna go
to sleep. Yeah. So open palm striking. So it's still entertaining. We get some contact. Granted, I won't get knocked out by open palm strikes. Yeah. If I do, then my chin is really, really good. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Who's having the better time, you or Tom? Because Tom's a wrestling guy, unbelievably as well.
Let me tell you something. Like Matt Riddle's damn good, right? Tom is just as good. I don't know why he ain't somewhere bigger, but I'm glad he's in MLW because like we could have some classical matches. Tom is amazing. His personality, him on the mic, like when he comes out, like remember his weigh-ins during the UFC,
yeah.
The whole Dan Severn, like he had, man, he's a star, like he's a star. I learned a lot from him. I watch his matches, like I've learned a lot from Tom, man. He's a great guy, man.
But you can't, and this is what we were talking about before. When you have that persona about winning and losing, I'll never forget. He came out to Hulk Hogan's Real American in Canada, and was not successful.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you got to win when you come out with you know music like that. So, all right, before we let you go, tell me a little bit about tomorrow. What's the process? Do you know who you're going to grapple against, or is it?
I think we'll grapple against WEC first. So.
Is it somebody starts and until they lose?
Yeah.
So like the last one.
Yeah. I'm hoping the guy. Look, if WEC has a guy that runs the table, I'm hoping by the time he gets to me, he's dead tired, so I can submit him.
WEC: Chad Mendez, Glover Teixeira, Mark Munoz, Cub Swanson, and James Krause.
Oh yeah, forgot. Glover did compete WEC. He knocked out Sokoju years ago. Man, they're cheating.
Well, hold on a second. You guys are Gilbert Melendez, Jake Shields, Jay-Z, and Babalu.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Come on.
It's not that bad, but Glover to share. Let me see WC list. Like you know, because, like, you know, there's studs there. You know, Chad Mendez, stud. Glover's a stud. Mark Munoz is my old wrestling coach. Yeah. Super stud. Cub Swanson's a stud. James Krause is a stud. Man, stud versus stud group. I'm hoping that they get tired first.
Now, do you want to be first? Or do you want to go third or fourth?
I want to go like fifth or sixth, seventh.
So save it for the finals.
Yeah, I want those guys to get tired when they say.
I could just take them out tonight around Vegas.
Yeah, you know what? Take them out.
I'll just take them out.
Take them out. Get them drunk.
Get some donuts in them. They'll be fine.
No, take them out. Take them to the club. Just drop them off. But tell them the Uber.
I'll make a few calls.
But I'll call you an Uber at 4 o'clock. Take them out. Get them drunk. You know, awesome. Give them donuts.
There's a great buffet at the Crazy
Horse. What's the weigh-in situation? Do you guys have to be at a certain weight?
Yeah, I did weigh in. I weighed in at 195.
So the weigh-ins are already done?
Yeah.
Oh, then I don't need to stay tonight.
But if you have a chance while you're here, if you have a chance, there's a place called Bonchan. They have the best Korean fried chicken wings you'll ever eat.
Bonchan.
Yes. As a matter of fact, like when that today or something, like we'll get some to eat.
Yeah, we'll hook up.
I love eating out here. I have to eat a little cleaner because I have to do some stuff. But
yeah,
fried chicken wings. Yeah, that's clean.
Korean. But I eat a few of them. But Korean fried chicken is the way to go.
Okay, well, I'm partial to a chicken. In its entirety, so
Bonchan.
I thought you were going to run it around like Rocky Balboa and catch it.
Not anymore. Not with my knees.
What's next? What are you doing other than the wrestling? Because right now that's not a a full time once a week kind of thing.
No, I'm coaching, so I'm leaving for Japan on the 21st. Sydney Outlaws fighting Michael Chandler in a Bellator in Japan. Tokyo.
Coaching's so much safer.
Yeah, coaching's safer, but man, at the same time, you're like, ugh, why can't I just do it myself? Do what I'm saying. I'm telling you to do this. Keep your hands up. Move your head. Throw a jab. Take down this there. You know, but sometimes, like, you know, coaching is safer, but at the same time, it's, I'm not gonna lie, man. It hurts me when my guys lose when I'm there. It hurts me.
Yeah, I got it.
I can't sleep. Like, I almost want to cry sometimes because, like, I know what they, I know what they put in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I want them to get the win as a result.
Yeah.
But sometimes it don't always happen. It's real life.
Does coaching fill the void of not competing at the level that you have competed for so long?
Nah.
Does nothing, because I, you know, it doesn't matter. We speak all the time because I work in a lot with the boxing world, and the amount of ex-fighters that just say, oh, just, you know, I can go to all the events, I can teach, I can do the thing. There's nothing like hearing a bell and going in and being yourself, you know?
Nothing, because, like, it's just weird because now I'm going to miss all the backstage stuff. Mo, you're on deck. All right.
Yeah.
Warming up, walking to the back, giving everybody dap. All right, Mo, 3, 2, your music. All right, walk out. You know, and then we walk, do your walkout, give everybody hugs, put Vaseline on your cup, go in the cage. Then, like, you know, everybody runs in with the cameras.
Yeah.
And this is how you know. This is when you know things get real. And when things get real is like when they announce your name and you look across the cage and you see the three people, the camera guy and the two people holding the cable.
Yeah.
Run out. I'm talking about they run out. They sprint out the cage.
Yeah.
And you hear a clank, clink. Judge. You ready? Fight. And that's when you know it's real. Like, everyone else, like, funny because, like, when I was coming up, I remember, like, when my first time ever being around MMA, or, like, for real, I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
I had been coaching. I had a fighter named Jeff Lindsay. You can look him up on Sure Dog. He was a journeyman, but he was an Oklahoma legend. When I was 19, he came to the wrestling room and was like, man, I need to learn how to wrestle. I'm going to throw punches, kicks, and knees at you. You try to take me down. I'm fighting a guy in the USWF in Amarillo, Texas. And this is old.
Mm.
So I'm helping him train. We're coming up with game plans. I don't know much about MMA. I mean, back then it was NHB.
Right.
And it's crazy because he went out there and lost. Then I was like, hey, man, we're getting shape. So then we got in shape, and he beat the guy, and he took the guy's back, crossed his legs, got him with the ankle lock with 1 second left in the match. So he's like, Mo, I'm in shape. We train me for this next fight. I'm like, cool, no problem. So we train hard. We do push-ups, sprints, we're wrestling. He's like, yeah, I'm fighting Eves Edwards in Houston. I don't know who Eves Edwards is. I'm like, cool, we're going to kick his ass. Let's go down there. We drove about 7 hours to Houston.
To his hometown.
Yeah.
Eves lives in, in Houston.
We got stops. So I'm like, okay, man. So he's like, Mo, I'm going to give it a real training camp. I'm going to go train with Miletic. I'm like, cool. He goes to train with Miletic. For a while, wins a few fights, comes back. He's like, Mo, guess what? I'm like, what? He's like, I got a call. I was like, from who? He's like, King of the Cage. I almost fainted because back then, King of the Cage was the biggest big organization deal in America.
Yeah.
When I went to that card, that's when I ran the Rampage. I had my Polaroid camera, and I was like, can you take a picture of me? He dismissed me. I saw Dan Henderson there. I saw Randy Couture there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Tim Obaki Katolfo. I saw Bobby Hoffman. I saw Dean Lister, James Lee. I'm still friends with James Lee from when I met him when I was 19.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy how, I don't know, it's just weird. Time flies, but at the same time, like, and through combat sports, you build some meaningful relationships. A
brotherhood, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Kind of like you guys in the entertainment, and now you're ready. No?
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm saying the guys that are in the group. They may go and do other stuff, but I know you're still tight with Tommy and stuff. And
I feel like it's different because once you bleed with somebody and you sweat with somebody, and you win or lose or draw with somebody, you've seen the inside of a person. When you fight somebody, you've seen all they have to offer, like inside and out, the toughness. Because I fight guys that I'm like, quit.
Yeah.
And I keep on punching, they won't quit. So I'm like, man, this guy's tough. And I look at him, I can see his fighting spirit. And there's some guys I hit, and they're like, oh, and they quit. And I'm like, he's not a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, and there ain't been many people like that, but there've been a few. But when you get a chance to fight with somebody and go to war with somebody, mm-hmm. You appreciate them.
Can I tell you I'm not a fighter before you hit me? That's why I don't have to go through that.
No, but you use a pretty boy.
There's a, I hate to use the term intimacy, but there really is. It's almost like kissing. When you kiss someone, you hug someone, you're sharing a moment.
Sure.
You're sharing a moment with someone that no one else in the world knows what that moment's like. Just the two of you. And whether you win, lose, sort of, or draw. And my godfather was a world champion, and he fought a guy called Alexis Arguella.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What?
He fought Alexis Arguella and lost his world title to him, actually. But he said years and years later, he said, I knew after the first five rounds I wasn't going to beat him. I knew I wasn't the better man. He said, so the fighter in me said, I'm going out on my shield. I'm going out stood up. If I'm going to lose my title, I'm going to lose it standing up. He says, and as the 15 rounds progressed,
yeah, right,
he says, we got so far down the line. He says, and as we got to about the 10th round, he says, my face was a state. I couldn't, both, I had nose broke, cheekbone. And he said, the corner was saying, I'm going to pull you out. And he said, no, no, no. He says, I'm going to go out like a man, yeah, like a champion. And he said, they said, well, okay, we've got to go to some defensive measures here. He said, stay back. He says, just keep popping the jab out, move around the ring. He's going to beat you. Just keep that jab out, keep that right hand up, and just keep covering your injured jaw.
Clinch.
So he says, that was the plan. And he says, we go through the next couple of things, and he still keeps opening me up. He says, he dropped his right hand. He says, and I caught him with the best left hook I've ever thrown in my life. He says, and he grinned at me, and he said in his broken English, hey, it's good. And he says, at that point, I knew I was in danger, because I thought this guy could technically just take me apart here. He says, the following round, they said, just stay away from him, Jim. Three, four rounds left, stay away from him. He says, we went into a clinch. He says, I was staying away from him. And he tapped me on the back of the head, and he whispered into my ear. And he said, don't worry, it's okay. And he says, the last three rounds, we just boxed out like a sparring match.
No.
He said, and he said, what I learned from that was, we're literally in there killing each other, but mm-hmm. the respect level is so huge. He could have killed me. Technically, probably could have killed me if he'd have wanted to open up, but he 15, didn't.
15 rounds back then, I call it the death period because people could die back then. Right. People were like, look at Ali Frazier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, those are some battles, man. Mm-hmm. Speaking of boxing, my bad, take it over. What do you think about Anthony Joshua, Andrew Ruiz?
Oh, so this is a funny one because I, being British, I like Anthony Joshua. I like what he does for the sport. He's a good guy. He's good looking. He speaks well, all this kind of stuff. My problem is I think he's been very well managed, beautifully managed. I don't think he is a, what I would class as, and what you were just saying, a fighter. I don't think he's someone that goes so far into the trenches and can come out.
I don't know, but I
respect the guy. He's brilliant for the sport. But I think going in to defend a world title at anything and being in the shape that Andy Ruiz was in is a disgrace.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think, and Andy Ruiz at 250, 260 pounds gives him a bigger, you know, a much bigger and better fight. But some people are made to be champions.
You mean 240 because he weighed 200.
Well, he was 260.
Yeah, 260, but I'm sorry. He was wanting to be 240. I remember I watched Andy Ruiz here in Vegas in 2012 versus Elijah McCall. You know, Oliver McCall's son. Mm-hmm. He weighed in at 246.
Yep.
And I, but the thing is, like, as far as like, I think Anthony Joshua, he proved to me he's a fighter once he fought Klitschko, because that was one of the best heavyweight fights I've seen in a long time.
I give you that, but I also go Klitschko was 40, 41.
But he was 41. This Deontay Wilder avoided him.
Oh, 100%.
Because Deontay Wilder, I know people that are in camp watching my boy Michael Hunter, that's my brother. He was like, I was in camp Klitschko years ago. I knew, he's like, with Vitaly, I embarrassed him because he was slow. Put me in there with Vladimir, he like, kill me. He threw two punches. I was like, I'm done. So I just ran. They sent him home. Yeah. But Deontay was in camp with him, and I heard he got smashed. So if you look at resume, Deontay's resume is stronger now. But if you look at overall resume, I feel like Anthony Joshua. But I'm big on Daniel Dubois. Daniel Dubois is the
beast. He's a beast.
Thing.
Yeah. But like, for me, Tyson Fury is still the.
Oh, okay.
Technically, the best. And would take them all apart.
Like Tyson Fury to me is like Ali. I've never seen one move so fluid since Ali.
For that size, too.
So I've never seen anyone so as charismatic and smooth and slick. Mm-hmm. Like anywhere he goes, people just love him just because he's a real person. He's a. Like a open book.
He's a classy guy. Yeah, he's a very classy guy.
big him and Billy Joe Saunders. I'm big on those two.
Yeah, Billy Joe's. I love Billy Joe Saunders.
Unfortunately, we are way over. The good part is, you know, that means we can get you back on again. Right. Always a home here, obviously on Knockout Radio.
And we're going to Bon John's Wings.
And we're definitely going to go do that. Let's go hit our first break. Coming to you live from the media room, or just outside the media room here at the Red Rock Casino. So we get ready not only for this awesome grappling event tomorrow, and we'll talk more about it, but UFC 245. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, which you will get more 8 Man Strong gear. I will hook you up. Jimmy, you will get some as well.
Thank you.
And Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
TAM Talk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true loves, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Shake, rattle, and roll at the Ryan Neese Foundation's 11th Annual Power of Giving Holiday Party on Thursday, December 5th at the Pepin Hospitality Center. Enjoy delicious food, open bar, casino games, celebrity guests, a live band, silent auction, and most of all, fun. Tickets are on sale now at www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, the DiBartolo Family Foundation. We'll see you on December 5th at the Power of Giving Holiday Party. Visit ryanneesefoundation.com to buy tickets now.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Jurassic World Live Tour. 65 million years in the making. Jurassic World dinosaurs come to life in an epic adventure. The feeling is real. Experience it live. Jurassic World Live Tour. Tickets on sale now, coming to Amalie Arena, January 3rd through 5th. Get your tickets today at JurassicWorldLiveTour.com.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Prepare yourself, college football fans. If you love having fun, if you love Pirates, and if you love your football, then the 2019 Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl is where you have to be. December 23rd, ESPN and Bad Boy Mowers will host college football teams from the American Athletic Conference and Conference USA at the incredible Raymond James Stadium right here in Tampa Bay. The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, December 23rd. Kickoff at 2:30 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at GasparillaBowl.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there, listen, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Las Vegas as we get ready for UFC 245. Were you ready to, like, break out in song?
No, I'm not allowed to sing.
Well, I know that. I was going to say.
Listeners, no, I'm not allowed to sing.
All right, so let's welcome to the program, beep, Mike Perry.
Hey,
man. What's up? How are you? How's life?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. I'm married, man.
I was going to say, I see the new jewelry.
You know, it's a nice little platinum ring with a diamond in it. She got me, so I'm doing well. I'm here. I'm prepared for battle, and I'm meeting some cool fighters. And I actually want to say, I was just thinking about, because I saw Glover Teixeira and all the guys who are going to
for tomorrow. Up.
And Glover just keeps walking around every time he sees me, and he's like, Roberto Duran. And I was like, I'll take that all day.
For sure. So I was going to tell you off the air, and then we came back to the show. The first time Mike and I met face-to-face. So we talked on Twitter. He'd been on the show.
Yeah.
And I do this charity event, which we were going to bring you to, and it just didn't happen, the Make-A-Wish event in Nashville.
Yeah.
So we hadn't met yet. He'd been on the show a couple times. He seemed like a really cool dude. And I'm like, you know, Mike, it's early in your career. We have this great charity event. Randy Couture is there. Tito Ortiz is there. Why don't you come out and just be part of it? Bring your girlfriend, now wife, and, you know, have a good time. It'll be, you know, she can eat. Well, unless, tell me if it's not true, Mike came to kick my ass because he thought I was, I don't even remember who you were fighting, but Mike thought I was in like the camp of his opponent, and I was trying to get him to drink and trying to get him. I just wanted him to bring me more lobster. I didn't want him to eat. I wanted to eat.
That was before the Ellenberger fight. That was my fourth UFC fight, and that was quite an experience. I got to say, I don't think I've had an experience on fight week quite like that one, where I got to meet all these special people who are doing great things for the world. And I got, you know, on weight cut, I had to run around and serve steak and lobster and little cheeseburgers. I would sneak a couple patties of cheeseburgers down in the back.
That wasn't on me.
I had to do what I had to do, man. I was starving. My girl was sitting next to some rich guy, and I was trying to get all these rich people to throw money in the bucket. And it was like you had to be kind of entertaining to get them to do that.
You met Sensei from Karate Kid.
I got to meet Randy Couture. The sweep the leg.
Yeah, sweep the leg.
That's all I know. But Randy Couture was cool to meet. And then, you know, I still have that signed apron from a couple different celebs. There was a lot of celebs there. You know, sometimes people who are famous and wealthy beyond your knowledge are standing right next to you. You don't even know it.
Yep. You know, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this because, you know, Mike has had this persona and whatever. I saw a side of you that night before I even got to meet you. You know, and that's what I try to explain to new fans and, you know, fans that, oh, it's barbaric and, oh, it's this. It's what you do for a living. You know, most of the athletes are great people. It's just what they do. You know, it's a little King Mo-ish, a little, you know, you got to put on a show sometimes to sell tickets and, you know, you do what you do. But that showed me a lot of you coming and having a good time and you having a good time as well.
It's kind of like getting bullied in school. If, you know, you call it bullying, then you're kind of telling everybody what's happening to you instead of doing something about it. If you're just joking with the boys, you could call that bullying too. You and the boys hazing each other, but, you know, it's how you react to it. And, you know, sometimes it can be entertaining. And this being my 12th UFC fight, I kind of don't have all the energy I used to have for all the trash talk because when it comes down to it at the end of the week, we got to get in there and fight regardless. So I try to, you know, do a little bit of talking, but I haven't been as vocal this time around as I usually am.
So I don't need to come into the weigh-in because I have videos of the ones in the past that are classic. But if you're telling me stay in and sleep, then I won't come in on Friday and videotape it again.
Well, I still have ideas. It depends on what the – usually we expect the opponent to just stand there and be boring and it's just like this dull look on his face. And, you know, I'm trying to, like, get people excited about our fight or – you know, and that's another reason people call me out, because I kind of make people's names bigger after they fight me.
Yeah, to be honest with you, you're one of those rare fighters that doesn't need to do all the nonsense.
Thank you.
He can just dance his way in, but
you just don't. Mike, one of my colleagues that I work with, he was going to be here today, and unfortunately can't because he's injured. But he you know, to come in and shake your hand and meet you was a big deal to him because he's a big MMA guy. But he brought up the idea that your name on a bill really does genuinely excite people, because they know they're going to get no BS. This is going to be what you get. You know, there's none of the, you know, you don't have to trash talk. You don't have to go through all those things, which some fighters do. And we were speaking with Mo about his venture into wrestling, and you know, you've got to play up to the cameras, and you've got to wear a funny outfit, and you've got to have great music and all this kind of stuff. And certain people, it's like you, I'd probably say people like Cowboy, you have a thing that people just know and respect the energy that you bring in a fight.
I just want to have a good time in life, and you know, the pressure's already there. We're going to fight regardless. I might as well, you know, put my butt on the line and talk some trash and try to get in the guy's head, you know, do what I can.
Yeah.
What do you think have you thought as you're walking to the cage? I mean, are you trying to clear your mind? Are you thinking stuff? Are you – what?
Man, I think it's fairly simple. It's like F you, F you, F you, F you, F you.
I appreciate that.
Forget you, bro. Forget you. This is my time. And then I think it just goes blank, and I just I don't even know what's happening. It just kind of takes over.
Now, were you thinking F you when you put on the most popular dance in the history of sports and won the bike because of the dance?
I think that was the
point. Or did it just happen?
Once I get in there, once I take my clothes off and they check my cup and I crawl in that octagon, I think then it just starts taking over. And, you know, I was just trying to stay loose, trying to stay warm, because when you're waiting for your opponent to come out, you don't know how long he's going to take, how slow he's going to walk. I feel like I run to the cage sometimes, and I'm waiting on this guy. You really cool down in there. You gotta kind of move and stay warm. So
who decides red and blue? And do some guys who are coming in second purposely take their time for that exact reason?
I think so. I don't really ever get to come out second because I gotta put a streak together. I thought it was for who has more UFC fights, and then I found out I wasn't sure what corner I was going to be until we got here, and I'm blue and he's red, so I was like, all right, it's just who he's on the 4-fight win streak, so they made him red, or I'm the underdog, so they made me blue. I'm not really sure how they go about it, and I'm sure that guys do take their time to be like, ah, this is my time now. You got to stand there in the cage and wait for me. Whatever.
Now, as you know, I don't do a ton of research because I like to just sit down. We like to just sit down and talk and whatever. But I saw a tweet, I guess, that you wanted to say, or you wanted Bruce to say something about a new fighting system or something. And they're not going to do that, or they won't allow you to do that?
On my debut was the only time I ever filled out the paperwork for what Bruce is going to call me. And it says style of martial arts. And I put drunken style boxer. I'm a big fan of the movie with Jackie Chan, both of them, the old and the new, which they're both old. And, you know, I believe that speaks what I do. I am a drunken style boxer because I can do anything. I can kick, I can punch, I can wrestle, I can submit, even though I don't have any submissions. I haven't had to. I put guys in positions and I hit them and they wither. So, you know, I think I'm quite a drunken fighter.
No, and they won't say it, or you haven't put it back on, or
I
guess tomorrow.
He just didn't. I think that if you watch my debut, Bruce kind of saw that. And he was like, this man is a but boxer. What? Drunken style boxer. It's a real thing, bro.
That is hilarious. Pet peeves. What are some of your pet peeves? Media fight week.
People talking, like when I got to do the videos that you watch right before I walk out from my fight, they want me to say my opponent's name so much. And I'm like, I haven't said his name ever. And you guys want me to say it 10 times right now. Every time I say something, I got to put the question in the answer.
Yeah.
And I got to say my opponent's name. I don't want to say his name. Screw his name. And people, you know, it used to be I've stopped caring about all this because people just can't even help it. A lot of people just don't even understand. On weight cut, they're like, how you feeling? That's stupid.
Yeah.
It's weight cut, bro. I feel terrible. Shut up. Two is like,
how's training camp going?
Yeah, you know, it's like, are you ready? It's 3 weeks out, bro. Am I ready? I'll be ready that night. I'm getting ready. I live ready. I stay ready. I'm always in the gym. I'm always kicking your ass, ain't I? So how am I feeling? Am I ready? And you know, a lot of it, that's just such a regular question. Like moms ask that question. Are you ready? They don't know what to say to us.
Right.
They're like, what are you going through? But they won't say that.
Right.
They won't. People aren't honest with themselves and they don't speak the truth all the time. They just get confused when they don't.
And that's another reason I think why you're so popular, because it's literally like you, people like Cowboy, people like Nate Diaz, that just say it like the guy on the street. Do you know what I mean? There's just the truth to it all in this world of nonsense of, like I said, you have to make sure that you answer the question before you ask the, you know, and you get manipulated into stay this, wear this, hold this can with the sponsor this way around. All of the stuff that unfortunately is now.
I haven't even made it to that point.
But that, you know, that when you get to that level of the size of the business that we're in now, you know, it is nice. And do you know what? That is why people will forever want to see you compete. They will.
But there's so many people that don't care about truth.
Yeah.
Because they lie to themselves every day. So, for example, WWE fans, they pack the house.
Yeah.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching it yesterday in the PI. I was chilling in the hot tub and I'm like, it's funny, but like it's clownish.
Yeah.
It's dramatic.
Scripted entertainment.
And it's a lie. And, I mean, I know that they're athletic. I know that they work out in the gym. I know that they get hurt for real. But it's like, you know, we don't have the fans that they have. And we are risking. Maybe that's our fault. That's the bullying I was talking about. When we say, oh, we're risking our life. But, like, I put that in my head because I know I have to go out and fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm risking my life. Especially me. I fight some dangerous dudes. I moved up the rankings and for the past 3 years that I've been in the UFC, I've only fought people in the top 15.
Yeah.
I have yet to really be in the top 15, but what's up with that too? I knocked out Jake Ellenberger when he was number 13, but I can't say
I can't respond to that because
don't even get me started. Right?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you about that. This is how ridiculous, and I'm sitting right next to the UFC office. I used to be a voter on that, and they took my voting rights away because I do all sports, and they wanted only quote unquote media or MMA media.
Yeah.
What?
Well. I got a chance to break the top 15 again this weekend, and I'm going to have to freaking do it for once.
What's the worst? Well, a couple real while we have about a minute. The worst smelling place you've ever been?
There you go.
The dump. I had a punishment. My dad stacked this 1980s S10 20 feet high with this garbage that we had in our old garage in Flint, Michigan, and he covered it with the tarp, and we drove up there. My punishment at 17 years old was to help fill the truck and empty the truck at the dump. And they weren't even supposed to let me in under 18, but my stepmom told them it was my punishment for something I did in school, so they let me in to empty out this this truck was full. You wouldn't believe it.
What's the smelliest place you've been?
Oh, Jesus. Probably our tour bus. I would imagine. That can get, you know, you stick 7, 8, 9 people in security and, I'd say a tour bus without a shadow of a doubt.
I had to go through a chute when I was in the Navy, and when we crossed the equator, you do this shellback initiation, and they had this tube of about 20 feet long of anything and everything you can imagine, the nastiest stuff, period.
Yeah.
And you have to crawl through that and come out the other side. And then they dunk you, and what are you? And it's like the most prestigious thing to do in the military is to cross the equator.
Yeah, and that sounds prestigious as well.
Well, I have my card, so that is all that matters. As always, Mike, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
We're all excited to see you fight on Saturday, and I'm sure you'll get excited by Saturday. Right now, you're a little chilled, and I like that.
Thank you, guys.
It's
so
the
much
new
for
it's married
me.
Life.
Knockout Radio makes me feel like I'm going to get a knockout on Saturday.
Yeah, let's do that.
There you go. Good enough.
Let's do that.
All right, we are at the top of the hour. Let's hit it, and then we'll return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, and you will get some more 8 Man Strong gear and Staff Zone. We'll be right back. She's stood in the street, smiling from my head to her feet. I said, hey, now, what is this? Now, baby, maybe, maybe she's in need of a kiss. I said, hey, what's your name, baby? Maybe we can see things the same. Now, don't you wait, oh, hesitate. Let's move before they raise the parking lot.
Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.